JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I need to speak to JC. I've been trying to talk to him since before the election.
Yeah, he's a big pain in the butt. What, can I just give him a message?
Just tell him I think he's an arrogant jackass. I'll tell you the reason why.
All right, just so you know, by the way, he drives me crazy, too. I hate him.
Well, he made the comment that he said, who do these religious people think they are, you know, when they were going to vote against the stem cell? Who do they think they are? And I thought, you know, what an arrogant jackass.
Right. I agree. He's always doing stuff like that.
And who are you? Are you JC?
Yeah.
I figured you might be.
Are you an electrician?
You big dummy.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
It is Thursday, the 17th of June, 2021. Hello, my children. It's JC, and this is another podcast here at jcontheline.com. Thank you for spreading the word, by the way. We're picking up listeners every day, and that's helping biz, so we do appreciate it. Nice walk off by Yachty yesterday. You know, it's interesting. My sister and brother-in-law live up in the Chicago area, and they are very, very die-hard Chicago Cub fans. Now, as you know, I was born and raised in Chicago. That was my childhood team. But then after 3.5 decades in St. Louis, guess what? The Cardinals sort of rubbed off on me. But I still follow both teams. But it is very, very interesting because I can talk a little bit about baseball with my sister and brother-in-law. I can talk about baseball a little bit. When it comes to the Cubs and Cardinals, it gets really testy. They really, really despise the Cardinals and the Cardinal fans, and boy, do they hate Yachty. They really, really do not like Yachty or Molina. So it gives me a really interesting perspective on things because, you know, we see Yachty as our hometown hero, and then when the Cardinals go on the road, he just gets booed everywhere and booed loudly. And, you know, he is the lightning rod on this team when the team hits the road. Now, let me tell you a quick little story. Back about, how long ago was this? 20 years ago? Probably 20 years ago. I was working at a radio station, and we gave away a house. We gave away a house. It was something we did on the air for 3 or 4 months where you could register and qualify and do all that sort of stuff. And the way the thing played out was that six people qualified to go out on the field at the 50-yard line at halftime of a St. Louis Rams game. And then we wheeled out this smaller version of a house. It was on some wheels. And that thing got pushed out onto the field along with the six people who had one of these keys was going to open the lock on the front door. And whichever key opened the lock on the front door, that was the person who won the house. So they give me the wireless microphone. I go running out there. They introduce me. And I'm going to explain to the crowd of 66,000 people what we are doing. And as soon as they announce me, 66,000 people start booing. And somebody asked me afterwards, they're like, didn't that make you feel bad? It's like, absolutely not. Are you kidding? Think about it. 66,000 people that have been drinking at their tailgate parties at Bear Park since 5 o'clock this morning, drunk as they are, still knew who I was. That's how big I am in this town. This is what amateur broadcast management people don't understand is that the more they boo you, that means the more they recognize you, they're more aware of you, and it's a bigger deal for you. You can look at all the most controversial people in history, in entertainment, sports, broadcasting, whatever it is. You go out on stage and everybody starts booing. That is money in the bank. Lack of recognizability or awareness is the only thing that'll make you lose your job. in this business. Well, the only thing that's supposed to make you lose your job. So Inyadi and the Cardinals go up to Chicago next month, and I get to make that trip again after not having been able to go for a couple of years. Yeah, the Cub fans are going to boo the crap out of Yadier Molina. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. But there are people who are, as I said, in amateur broadcast management who don't understand that. Hey, I tried for 5 years to teach remedial broadcasting. I might as well have been talking to a tree stump. All right, where are we? I have always been reluctant to use sunscreen, not because I don't think it's a good idea. It's a very good idea. I just have a problem with the idea of smearing lotion on myself. I don't know. I just feel sticky and gummy, and I'd rather go to the beach without sunscreen, stay half as long, limit my exposure to the sun, go inside, rather than spend twice as much time at the beach, but with all this goo all over me. That's absolutely terrible advice, by the way, and I understand that. And skin cancer is nothing to laugh at. Well, now it turns out that, and by the way, this isn't just the cheap crap that you pick up at the dollar store that sort of looks like a name brand sunscreen. It's the same color bottle and the same sort of font, but not until you get out to the car and really look at it, it goes, hey, wait a minute, this isn't Banana Boat. This is Banana Float. And you're like, what the hell did I just buy? Well, but it's the good stuff. It's like the Banana Boat and the Neutrogena sunscreen apparently has benzene in it. Benzene is a carcinogen, a known carcinogen, and now they're pulling this stuff off the shelves. So what you were smearing all over your body to protect yourself, quote unquote, protect yourself from the damaging rays of the sun? Yeah, you thought you were doing something good for your skin, and now it turns out you might have been doing something devastating to your skin. Well, I shouldn't say that. This is potentially dangerous, okay? Potentially dangerous. So they're pulling this stuff off, and you better, you know, Google what you have on your shelf before you smear more of it on yourself until they figure out what the hell we're supposed to do now. This is how insane commercial endorsements have become over the years. During a press conference, soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo snubbed two bottles of Coca-Cola in favor of a bottle of water. This was during a post-match news conference. He passes up two bottles of Coke in favor of a bottle of water. Coke's market value dropped by $4 billion, with a B, $4 billion. Will Smith is going to host an hour-long variety special on Netflix later this year. Celebrity guests, musical performances, comedy sketches, and noteworthy conversation. We'll just see, won't we? Streaming might be making movies worse. Experts think the quality is diminishing because movies are going straight to streaming services and no longer have to be good enough to lure people out of their homes and head to the theater. I don't do Kardashian stories, generally speaking, but this one is so stupid I thought I would share it with you. Khloe Kardashian got an autographed Thighmaster from Suzanne Somers, and apparently it's one of the greatest things that's ever happened to her. Meanwhile, we're put out of our misery, at least temporarily, because part one, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, the final curtain, is tonight at 7 o'clock on E! Father's Day is this weekend. Don't forget Dad. There's a lot of great TV dads in movies and TV. There's a lot of bad dads, too. Darth Vader, you want to start there. Frank Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, played by Danny DeVito, Jack Nicholson's character in The Shining, Red Foreman, Kurtwood Smith from That 70s Show, Frank Gallagher, William H. Macy in Shameless, Al Bundy from Married with Children, played by Ed O'Neill, and of course, Homer Simpson. 26th finale of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. What does that mean? He's taking the rest of the summer off? Can't do that. Late night tonight, Helen Mirren is on with Jimmy Fallon, Dax Shepard with Kimmel, Colbert's got Nathan Lane, Will Arnett with James Corden, Seth Meyers has Peyton Manning, and Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live. I'm telling you, this guy's going to be a superstar. And Mila Kunis is on with Conan. You want to start a good fight at the water cooler now that we're all going back to work, or a lot of us are. Although these stories about, I saw a couple of stories yesterday about people, instead of going back to work, they're just quitting their jobs because they don't want to actually go back into work. And also people have had, oh, you know, like an epiphany for the last year and a half thinking about what they're doing with their lives and their careers. And some of them have concluded that the job wasn't really what they wanted to do. They had a lot of time to think about it. And so they're just quitting now. A lot more people are saying to their employers, I want to work from home. And if I can't work from home, then I'll start looking for another job. So very strange job market right now. But those of you who do have a water cooler and still stand around and talk to fellow employees, or you know, maybe you work in a garage or a Jiffy Lube or something, you just stand around waiting for customers, you got to chit chat, whatever the case may be. But if you want to start a fight, start getting into discussions about which was better, the original or the cover version of a famous song. You'd be hard pressed to make a case that All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix isn't better than the original by Bob Dylan. I think most people would agree that Janis Joplin's version of Me and Bobby McGee is better than the original one. And I didn't even know that Roger Miller did it. You know, the King of the Road guy. The Byrds did Mr. Tambourine Man, again, covering Bob Dylan's song. It was pretty good. With a little help from my friends, I'm sort of on the fence on this one, Joe Cocker, originally done by the Beatles, and Otis Redding actually performed Respect. Aretha Franklin came along a couple of years later and said, move over. I love hearing these show business stories about people who were offered famous roles in what turned out to be famous movies and television shows, but they turned it down and somebody else got the gig. Apparently, Chris Rock was offered a part on The Sopranos, but he loved the show too much, and he said no because he was afraid he would ruin the show. A lot of talk about UFOs these days. J.J. Abrams producing a docuseries on UFOs for Showtime. Foo Fighters did a show where only vaccinated people could attend. And Ricky Schroeder was one of the anti-vaxxers who showed up to protest. All right, birthdays today. Venus Williams, tennis star, 41. Will Forte, he is MacGruber, 51. Jason Patrick, Corey Haim's brother in The Lost Boys, 55. Greg Kinnear, and we love Greg Kinnear because of this moment during an interview. He was pushing a movie with Renee Zellweger called Nurse Betty.
I got to ask you, you brought up As Good As It Gets. I know that you do a Jack Nicholson impersonation. Could I get you to do that? And by the way, have you ever done that in his presence?
You know, when we shot As Good As It Gets and I had to do that particular scene, Jack was in the house that day. I didn't do it, you know, in the scene I do it to the woman I'm working off of, but he actually was on set. And so I just kind of would, like, I was whispering to the director, is there any chance we can get Jack the hell out of here, please? Maybe get lunch or something? Because I was very uncomfortable with the idea of him in there. But when I saw the movie for the first time, he was sitting next to me, so I was kind of watching with one eye on the screen and one eye at him to see how he's going to react. But he, you know, he's okay with it. I'm not the first person to emulate Jack's very unique voice and mannerisms.
Which, of course, goes something like this.
Well, Jack, I've got nothing to say to you. For God's sakes, I'm standing here without words coming out of my mouth.
Wow.
Greg Kinnear. Wait, I have a much better one that I'll do, though.
Yep.
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
I never do this, but I'm going to do it because I feel, I don't know, something special is happening here.
A kinship.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Ted Koppel. This is Nightline.
Whoa!
Tonight. And forgive me for sounding overzealous on this one particular point. Nurse Betty has arrived.
How about that?
Jesus, whoa is right. That thing, that just came out of nowhere. We had no idea that that was coming, and it was quite the moment, man, quite the moment. Thomas Hayden Church from HBO's Divorce. Also, he was in the movie Sideways, 61 today. Barry Manilow. I had to interview him a couple of times in a previous life when I was working at Johnny Carson's old station, WOW in Omaha, and we played all that crap, Copacabana and Mandy, and I write the songs, and I had to play that stuff. It was very early on in my career. He was very nice. You know, he's very nice. He's quite the showman. I had to introduce him on stage and everything, and, you know, the crowd was eating it up. That is a weird looking guy too, man. That is a very, very weird looking guy. And as he's gotten older, he's gotten to look even weirder. And Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House from 95 to 99, is 78 years old today. The whole Watergate thing started on this date 49 years ago in 1972. Dick Nixon, before he dicks you. And 27 years ago today, 1994, it was the O.J. Simpson car chase. 95 million Americans watched the eight-hour police chase of O.J. He then threatened suicide and refused to leave the white Ford Bronco when it arrived at his home in Brentwood, California. It is interesting to talk to Bob Costas about that because Bob was doing an NBA playoff game when this whole thing happened, and they were doing like a split screen. On one side of the screen, you had the game, and on the other side, you had the chase. And Bob Costas was sort of charged with the responsibility of sort of trying to narrate both things. He tells great stories about that night. And I also have to tell you, I had the weirdest night because 95 million Americans watched, but I was not among them. I was actually in a tuxedo at the Ritz-Carlton emceeing an event for, I think it was cystic fibrosis. And, you know, I had the tux on, and, you know, every couple of minutes I had to do something. But I kept running out of the ballroom. There was a little bar. There's a little bar right around the corner from the main ballroom at the Ritz-Carlton in the lobby there. And the guy had like a little 10-inch TV, a little black and white TV. And I kept running out every couple of minutes to see what the hell was going on. And I asked the people who were running the event, do you want me to acknowledge this? Tell people what's going on. They're like, no. We want to keep this upbeat and everything like that. And we're afraid people will leave. Well, when people were leaving and they found out what was going on, they were pissed because they wanted to know and they had missed the entire thing.
I've been watching O.J. Simpson all the live long day. I will never understand why he didn't throw that glove away. I don't know if he is guilty, but one thing's plain by far. He should sell his Ford Bronco and buy a faster car.
Here's the O.J. portion of the album.
You know, I blame a lot of what happened at the trial on Lance Ito. I mean, a judge is supposed to control a trial, but Ito had about as much command of the room as Kathy Lee Gifford singing You Light Up My Life at the Apollo Theater, all right?
From the KTLY newsroom, this is O.J. Today. With anchorpersons Bill McDonald and Casey Nagamura. Fritz Connolly with O.J. Weather. O.J. science editor Earl Agus. O.J. consumer reporter Betty Nash with How to Stretch Your O.J. Dollar. Plus legal experts Edward Bennett, Susan Carton, Alan Fuchs, Craig Shipley, and T.J. Now, here's anchorperson Bill McDonald.
Good afternoon and welcome to this, the final edition of O.J. Today. Starting Monday, this time slot will be filled by Fantasy Island.
Well, O.J. Simpson's lawyers stopped feuding this week, finally. The Dream Team, F. Lee Bailey and Robert Shapiro, were able to put aside their differences and express their admiration for each other after O.J. threatened to cut their heads off. It was revealed this week that defense lawyer Johnny Cochran once abused his first wife. In his defense, Cochran said, "Hey, at least I didn't kill her like some people I know."
O.J. Simpson himself is very, very confident now that he's going to be acquitted. In fact, earlier today in the courtroom, he asked Judge Lance Ito, "When the hell do I get my bloody gloves back?"
At the very end of the trial, he said, "I hope people realize that I did not, would not, and could not have committed this crime. And I think it's about time that more acquitted criminals quote Dr. Seuss when they're released from jail."
Did you kill your lovely wife? Did you do it with a knife? I did not kill my lovely wife. I would not, could not end her life. Did you drop a bloody glove? Did you leave a trail of blood? I did not drop a bloody glove. I would not, could not kill a dove. I would not kill that wife of mine unless that pitch got out of line. Unless that pitch got out of line, what's coming from that mouth of mine? My lawyer took my final dime. I guess I did commit this crime.
That last one was comedian Dana Gould. He's a really, really funny guy. And you heard Norm Macdonald lose his job in there. That's, you know, the president of NBC Entertainment did not like Norm Macdonald making jokes about his pal, O.J. Simpson. And that was the end of Norm Macdonald as we know it. All right. 27 years ago today.
One toe over the line, sweet Jesus. One toe over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One toe over the line.
That song has a great history. The band has a great history. There are some aspects to the song One Toe Over the Line that made music and radio station history. And to some extent, as you'll hear, television history. And pay careful attention to the three acts that Michael Brewer, a brewer in Shipley, talks about, acts that actually opened for them, not the other way around. Great conversation with Michael Brewer, a brewer in Shipley, JC's Celebrity A-List interview of the day. Michael, I'm going to go back to the late 1960s, early 1970s, and you're sort of knocking around Western Missouri. You and Tom are trying to get your music heard and your songs played on the radio. Tell me about what the music scene was like back in that time period.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the late 60s, early 70s was arguably one of the best times in music in the world, I think. There was a whole lot going on. Times were changing and folk singers had plugged in and folk rock had been invented and people were writing their own songs for a change. And it was, everything was popping. Vietnam War was happening and civil rights movements, and it was a wild and crazy time, but a lot of good music was being made.
Yeah, so back in 70, 71, in that area, I was living in the Chicago area where I'm from, and this song comes on WLS, the Big 89, 50,000 watts all over the Midwest, called One Toke Over the Line. And
I've heard that song.
I know. And the thing is, I Googled that right before we started our interview today, and I learned something. It turns out that a toke is a puff from a marijuana cigarette.
Just, is that right?
Just exactly.
Who would have guessed?
Now, the reason I bring that up is because this was the ABC radio network. This was this was corporate stuff, and they were very, very conservative. And you guys must have crapped bricks when you found out that song got airplay on WLS and then spread all over the Midwest. I mean, you guys must have just scratched your heads and said, "We didn't really think this was going to happen."
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, WLS was the station, as you know, it's a huge station. They really helped break One Toke Over the Line. They had to make a decision. In fact, they had a special meeting with us to make sure we were going to follow through with it, not back out, if they, to back them up if they chose to go ahead and play it. And because WLS decided to go ahead and play it, many other radio stations did the same thing, because a lot of stations were afraid at the time the Nixon administration was coming down on so-called drug lyrics in rock and roll, but that also included Puff the Magic Dragon, for God's sake. Ridiculous. And, of course, we made Nixon's enemies list, as a matter of fact, which we held as a badge of honor and still do to this day. But, yeah, WLS was very instrumental in helping One Toke be as successful as it was. They were very brave, I have to say.
Now, Brewer and Shipley is often thought of as sort of a Midwestern heartland kind of band, and that's not a knock at all. It's just the sort of music we like in the Midwest. But as you have traveled around the country and around the world, is there a place or a region where you sort of scratch your heads and go, how the hell did we get popular here?
Well, not really, because, you know, people are just people. Actually, I have to say the Deep South, back in those days anyway, was kind of surprising to us because of the music we were making and because of the way we looked at the time. You got to remember, man, it was like easy rock, living the easy rider deal. We kind of glowed in the dark. We just left L.A., so we were wearing bell-bottom pants and Nehru shirts and beads and things and long hair. So we had to pick and choose where we would stop to eat or get gas or try to check into a motel. We were turned away from a lot of places.
So you guys have opened for, or in one way or another, shared the stage with acts like Elton John and the Eagles and Springsteen and Billy Joel and the great Bonnie Raitt, ELO, Tall, Humble Pie, Ted Nugent. You've rubbed elbows with Dan Fogelberg, who actually worked on some songs with you. And I even saw Linda Ronstadt's name mentioned. Just talk about the collaborations and the input and maybe even a little criticism, maybe a little direction. Just sort of the experiences that you had with some of these incredibly popular acts.
Well, we just a lot of it was just be at the right place at the right time. Actually, this is interesting, people don't know. Way back when, Bruce Springsteen, Linda Ronstadt, Billy Joel all opened for us.
Wow.
Before they hit it big.
Wow.
And we knew Linda, you know, way back in L.A. days when she was, you know, she had just shown up in L.A. and just trying to get something going like everybody else. There was a club called the Troubadour.
Oh, yeah.
And on Monday night, she'd pay your dollar. It was called Hootenanny Night. It's called Open Mic Night now. But anyway, back in those days, you pay your dollar. If you got to get up and play, then you got your dollar back at the end of the evening. And it would be Jackson Browne and Linda Ronstadt and people who had gone to be the Eagles and Poco and Arlo Guthrie, just, you know, the list would go on and on. It was just a whole lot of people, musicians, you know, just hungry and trying to get something going. And some of us did, and some of us didn't. Some of us more than others.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned Dan Fogelberg. Yeah, Tom and I went our separate ways for a few years because we just got burnt out being on the road all the time. This is our 52nd anniversary, by the way. We've been doing it a long time.
Wow.
But anyway, I moved back to Oklahoma, where I'm from, to raise my kids. And anyway, I was doing some solo shows. I was playing a little bar in Nederland, Colorado, which isn't far from Caribou Ranch Studio, and where Fogelberg was recording. And he came in, and we'd never met. And anyway, he was working on his Innocent Age album, which ended up being a two-album release, and he asked me to sing a duet with him on a beautiful song called The Reach, which I did, and one thing led to another, and he ended up producing my first solo efforts, an LP called Beauty Lies. But it came out just about the time TV was happening and radio stations across the country changed their format, and their logo became, "We are now playing what you see on MTV." And excuse me, and that's when music videos were starting to happen. So my Beauty Lies album kind of was sort of like a collector's item. It wasn't a planned collector's item, but it kind of ended up being one.
You're sitting there one day, and somebody calls you up and says, "Hurry, hurry, turn on the TV. I'm talking about the performance on Lawrence Welk of
I knew that was coming.
One Toke Over the Line." You're probably sitting there going, "I don't remember doing any drugs this morning, but man, oh man, something weird is happening."
Well, I'll tell you, Tom and I didn't even see it because we were in London at the time, and my mother was watching Lawrence Welk, and my brother Keith just happened to be walking by just about the time that they were introducing it, and Lawrence Welk referred to it as a modern-day spiritual, too. And of course, it's gospel to us. But anyway, we didn't even believe it yet. You got to be kidding me. In fact, my mom, I was told that my mom was going, "No, Lawrence, no, Lawrence."
That's your mom.
But anyway, yeah, 32 years later, we got our hands on a copy of it and put it on YouTube for the world to see. I think it's well over a million hits by now. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
Thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, JC.
No, Lawrence. No. Oh, I enjoyed that immensely. Michael Brewer, Brewer and Shipley, and that puts a lid on JC's podcast for, what is today? The 17th of June, 2021. Please continue to spread the word about jcontheline.com and our daily podcast that posts every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Enjoy your day. We'll talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one.
See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.